When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh yeah!
Hey, Timmy.
Bitchy, I'm Gilbert Gottfried. I'm here with Frank Santopadre, and this is Gilbert and Frank's amazing colossal obsession with crepe paper less rainbow.
Oh my God!
You really hit amazing and colossal. That's it.
He's got such energy. Suddenly, yeah. He's like shot out of a Roman Roman candle.
When he turns to me to describe what's missing, you can see it. It just takes the whole thing up.
He's like Sandy Duncan. Yeah. He's a ball of a ball of energy. The Star Spangled Girl. Hi, Gilly.
Yes.
How are you?
Oh, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You're looking well.
Yes.
Yes. Paul Raybone is here.
Bling,
we established
bling,
that.
Bling, bling.
What are you this week? Crepe paperless?
Crepe paperless.
Sorry, I was looking down at my notes. Forgive me. We're going to do something different, something a little bit out of the ordinary. We're going to do a producer of the month, which we haven't done in a long time.
Okay.
And I don't know whether I'm going to try to stump you with these or just talk to you about them.
Yes.
Because this is a bit of a blind spot for me, but I know that this is your sweet spot.
Oh,
this being the month of October, one of our fans by the name of Sean Liu, L-O-U, said,
Whoa.
said,
you say you saw the candle move.
You saw the candle move. What was that great bit where he had to, I must have gone back to vaudeville, where they try to prove to Sidney Fields that a loaf of bread is the mother of an airplane?
Oh,
do you remember this bit? Am I crazy? You remember this? The punchline ends up being that necessity is the mother of invention, that a loaf of bread is a necessity and the airplane is an invention.
I got to
look. And he draws it on the wall of Fields' boarding house so that they can get out of their rent. He bets him. These are the kind of conversations I'd have with Drew Friedman at 1 in the morning. He bets Mr. Fields that he doesn't, if he can prove that a loaf of bread is the mother to an airplane, he doesn't have to pay his rent that month. This is the shit that pops into my head when you talk about Lou Costello. Anyway, it's the month of October, and so this gentleman suggested something that's right up Gilbert's alley, and that is the worst Frankenstein movies ever made.
Oh.
How about that?
Pretty good.
Paul's looking at me. Now, Paul, you were not brought in on this earlier. We've never met before. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I'm doing it.
Well, there was... Well, I'll start...
I'm doing Kreskin. Go ahead.
There was Frankenstein's Daughter.
That's on my list.
Which had... what's his name? The silent screen... Harold Lloyd Jr.
That's right. That's right. Very good.
Special appearance by Harold Lloyd Jr.
How did you come up with that?
And surprisingly, he didn't follow it up with a big movie career.
No. Harold Lloyd Jr. I printed some of these out. I want to see how many of these you actually know.
And I heard with Frankenstein's Daughter, when the director didn't know what the makeup people were going to do because he just, you know, they got him as cheap as possible. And when he saw how bad it was, he started crying.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Where did you see this?
Yeah, because it looks like a guy, first of all. It doesn't look like a girl. It was just just scary.
Okay, but was it worse than Jesse James meets Frankenstein's daughter?
Now, was that with John Carradine?
No, I don't think he's
John Carradine
in that
met
one.
Dracula.
He's Billy the Kid meets Dracula.
Billy the Kid meets Dracula. That's
a whole other
close
ball
enough,
of
cowboy
that's
monster.
A whole other ball of wax. Paul, do me a favor. Look
yes,
up
sir.
Who was in Jesse James meets Frankenstein's daughter, made in 1966 by William One Shot Bodine.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, and he may. I think he's the guy that directed Bela Lugosi meets a Brooklyn Gorilla. Right?
Well,
same guy.
That's right.
Yeah, same
with,
guy.
Sammy Petrillo and Dookie Mitchell.
Carradine was in some awful thing from 1981 called Frankenstein Island.
I saw that.
You've seen that one, too.
I saw that.
Of course.
And there's, like, zombies walking
yes,
around.
Yes, it was a remake of something called Teenage Zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was
that was John Carradine paying the rent.
A major league mess.
Yeah. I just want to see if you know some of these titles, because some of these things are
and
truly
awful. And I remember
awful.
In Frankenstein's Island,
mm-hmm.
they have the mad doctor and he's wearing an eye patch.
Of course.
And there are zombies walking around growling, and the hero says to him, "How did you lose your eye?" And you go, I think it's pretty obvious. There are zombies here.
By the way, what was the plot? Because I have not seen Jesse James Meets Frankenstein's Daughter, although I want to.
The Frankenstein monster does show up in Frankenstein Island.
He does.
It looks like a
was
Halloween
this, I
mag.
Understand the plot of this was that Jesse James is on the run and he hides out in Frankenstein's castle. Was that the premise?
Well, that was it's based on a true story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, I see. I didn't realize that. Do any of these titles mean anything to you? And Paul, you can chime in on any of these or just look any of them up. Frankenstein Conquers the World. That was Japanese.
Yes. Yeah. I remember. In fact, I think they used a picture from Frankenstein Conquers the World on one of the covers of Famous Monsters.
Incredible.
I got a little bit on Jesse James here.
Hit me. I haven't stumped him yet, by the way. He knows every one of these.
Jesse James meets Frankenstein's daughter, 1966. The IMDb rating is 2.9 out of 10.
Right.
Jesse
James, of course, was played by John Lupton.
Of course he was.
And Dr. Maria Frankenstein was played by Narda Onyx.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like some kind of mineral.
Uh-huh.
And Cal Boulder played Hank Tracy and Igor.
Based on a true story, as Gilbert said. Like Out of Africa.
Yes.
There's nobody here who seems remotely recognizable.
Oh,
here.
My God. But, you know, he knew Frankenstein Island. He knew Frankenstein Conquers the World was Japanese. I don't even have the plot of that one. Do I have the plot of that one?
I can still see the picture in my mind from Frankenstein Conquers the World.
Okay, I'm going to try some of these other ones
out
on you.
Japanese guy.
Yeah, and by the way, we'll invite our listeners, if there's one we miss, we'll invite our listeners to write in or tweet us and tell us, or post on Listener Society and tell us what you think the worst Frankenstein movie ever made was. How about this? Does this mean anything to you? I'm going to go in reverse order here. Nope, I'll go in chronological order. Frankenstein Meets the Space Monster? Does that mean anything to you? From 1965?
Oh, yes! Wait!
Guess who starred in it?
James Caron!
Look at this guy.
James Caron was in that.
He was the star.
James Caron was the star. He was a sign. I spoke to James Caron today.
You did? How's he doing?
He's doing good.
Oh, good.
It was great talk.
Good.
Yes.
He never signed a release form.
James Caron was like the official or the scientist.
Yeah.
And it's an astronaut. He goes into space. And talk about like the worst special effects.
I'll give you the plot. All the women on the planet Mars have died in an atomic war, except for Martian princess Marcuzan. Marcuzan and her right-hand man, Dr. Nader, decide they will travel to Earth and steal all the women on the planet in order to continue the Martian race, and they shoot down a space capsule manned by the android astronaut Colonel Frank Saunders, causing it to crash in Puerto Rico.
And that's James Caron said they did film this in Puerto Rico.
Correct.
Yeah.
Frank's electronic brain and the left half of his face are damaged after encountering a ray gun. Frank, now the Frankenstein of the title, described by his creator as an astro robot without a control system. So technically, this is not the Frankenstein monster.
Okay. I remember there's a scene there where it's supposed to be there's a press conference with the astronaut, mm-hmm. and he breaks down and stops moving. So they couldn't even get the actor to just sit still. So they obviously freeze the film. They just stop the film. It's so obvious.
Stop the film. No python geese.
And my favorite thing is to avoid any suspicion that something crazy is going on, that the astronaut's not moving. They make an announcement. We'll be serving drinks in the other room. And everyone goes, drinks? Let's go.
That's like Ed Wood bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw that one.
Of course you did. In the United States, it was released on a double feature with Curse of the Voodoo. The film tells the story of a facially damaged android who fights alien invaders despite the title. I should have led with this. Neither Dr. Frankenstein nor the Frankenstein monster appear anywhere in the film. We have to get James back on just to talk about this. The film was ranked number 7 in a DVD documentary called The 50 Worst Movies Ever Made.
We definitely should give him a call.
We will. Yeah. How's he doing? Is he in good spirits?
Lively?
Great.
Yeah, he's got the same voice.
Oh, I love that man.
Yeah.
Had you ever heard of this one, Paul?
No.
Can you, this man next to me, a marvel or what? Yeah. I haven't stumped him yet. Okay, Gil, here's another one.
If it's a piece of shit, I've seen it.
How about, what was that one? That was from 1965. Okay, I'm not going in order. I'm going all over the place. I believe you talked about this one on a previous show. This was made in 1958, but it's called Frankenstein 1970.
Boris Karloff.
Very good.
And it's the premise is they're shooting a horror movie.
Correct.
In an old house that they don't know is the house of Dr. Frankenstein.
Yes. Yes.
Who was held prisoner by the Nazis.
Correct.
Dr. Frankenstein.
You know that? Did you know that Frankenstein was a prisoner of war?
No yes. idea.
Dr. Yes. Frankenstein?
Dr. Frankenstein.
Yes, made in 1958. Dr. Frankenstein allows a TV crew to shoot a movie in his castle, and he uses the cash to buy an atomic reactor.
Yeah.
I assume to exact revenge on the Nazis?
Yes.
Who tortured him? Wow. When the Baron, the arrangement gives the Baron just enough money to buy an atomic reactor, which he uses to create a living being modeled after his own likeness. When the Baron runs out of body parts for his work, he proceeds to kill off members of the film crew.
Well, absolutely.
And even his faithful butler for more spare parts. Boy, Karloff was just...
Oh,
this
yeah.
This is heartbreaking.
Give me a check.
Yeah, cut to the check.
Karloff, I think in one part, does a whole long speech about this one Nazi who used to yell at them, and he goes, and then they found him with his tongue cut out.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Nicely done. After the reactor is shut down and the radiation falls to safe levels, the monster's bandages are removed, and an audio tape is played back in which the Baron reveals that he had intended all along for the monster to be a perpetuation of himself, because he was the last of the Frankenstein family line.
And
is this making any sense at all?
Not too much.
I think they were originally going to call this Frankenstein 1963. But then they said, well, it's only like 3 years into the future.
Right, technically five.
And, yeah. Like 5 years into the future. That's not so mysterious.
Yeah. It was shot in black and white CinemaScope. It was released theatrically on a double feature with the Zsa Zsa Gabor film Queen of Outer Space.
Ooh.
How about that?
And I remember it begins with, it looks like the Frankenstein monster's chasing someone, and then it goes cut, And then you see it.
Oh, it's the fake out.
Yeah.
So then you know it's a movie being made. At least they were clever enough to do that.
The movie they were shooting at the beginning, they should have shot that movie.
Directed by a man who had a career, Howard Koch, who was the producer of The Odd Couple, The Manchurian Candidate, Airplane. Howard W. Koch.
Everybody's got to start somewhere.
Felix.
Frankenstein. He was, Howard Koch had a big career. Yeah.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
Okay, we haven't stumped Gilbert yet. Here's another one. I fear we will not. Does the title Frankenstein's Castle of Freaks mean anything to you?
The title.
Okay, this stars Rosanna Brazzi as Count Frankenstein. Right.
You can't go wrong with a midget in a movie.
Not a midget.
I think Michael
Dunn's in it.
Yeah,
Michael Dunn's in it. How did you know that?
So somewhere Hervé Villechaize was going, why wasn't I in that movie? Can I talk to my agent, Marty Rosenberg? Hey, Marty, why wasn't I in Frankenstein and the Castle of Freaks, where I could have gotten more pussy than Tom Selleck?
Tom Selleck. Back this up a minute. Why did you think Rosanna Brazzi was a midget? Rosanna Brazzi.
With a name like that, he should be.
He was Katharine Hepburn's love interest in Summertime.
Oh,
the Italian actor.
Yeah, but they shot him to look normal.
Yeah, right. but without
they had him standing on a soda box.
Without even knowing it, you didn't even know there was a dwarf who got second billing. The great Michael Dunn.
Who did Michael Dunn play in? What part did
Michael
he play
Dunn as? Played Gens. Gens.
I know, but that doesn't tell as much.
He had to have a midget name.
What?
He had to have a midget name.
Of course.
Like, they couldn't name him Dave or Phil. He had to have,
Phil the midget?
Phil the midget. Could someone fill the midget, please?
Let me give you the plot of this one.
We're taking a break. We have to fill the midget.
You'll love this one, Paulie. A Neanderthal man is lynched by villagers. And Count Frankenstein brings the monster back to life. Trying to avoid detection from the authorities and the locals, his creation escapes and wreaks havoc. As it does.
As they tend to do, right?
I love this. I found this gaffe on IMDb. Doing research. On Frankenstein's Castle of Freaks, which was Italian. You can... throw your usual slurs out there.
I'm sure the director's
name is movie makers.
John Smith.
Well, here's what's interesting. Italian film critic and historian Roberto Cuti stated that the production details of this film were shady, if not contradictory, which includes the identity of the director of the film, which is unknown. Nobody would put their name on it.
Kind of like this episode.
Just kind of like this episode.
I just got a call from Standards. They asked if we stop recording now and burn the Macintosh and anything related to this episode.
No more midget mentions? There are different theories about who directed. No one would take credit for Frankenstein's Castle of Freaks. Was it producer Oscar Brazzi? Cinematographer Mario Mancini or Spanish actor Ramiro Olivares?
It sounds like character Chico would have been in.
Yeah, Baravelli.
Yes.
Directed by Baravelli. Ravelli the Iceman.
You know, and
I don't want any ice.
Hey, Rusty.
Hey, Rusty. What do you got, Paul?
Well, there's just, we should save these for a part two.
Oh, my
because
throat hurts.
It just has similar movies to Castle of Freaks, and there's like another 8 or 10 here that are just unbelievable.
The film was released in the U.S. under various titles, including Terror Castle, The House of Freaks, The Monsters of Dr. Frankenstein, and finally Dr. Frankenstein's Castle of Freaks.
They not only had trouble with the director's name, the movie's name was also a problem.
So, you know, you like to go slamming the Guinea directors. In this case, they evaded your ire because nobody would actually take credit for it. I got another one here. Do I have this one?
So this movie had no witnesses.
No witnesses.
By the way, Frankenstein 1970, just to go back, was shot in 8 days on a modest budget. And the film's the film's main set was borrowed from a 1958 movie called Too Much Too Soon. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Okay, here's a couple more. Do these mean anything to you? Lady Frankenstein.
Yes!
Joseph Cotten.
Lady Frankenstein has Mickey Haggerty.
You're right, Mickey Haggerty.
Yes.
Hargitay.
Hargitay.
Mickey Hargitay.
Who is Mariska Hargitay's father.
Jane Mansfield's ex-husband.
Yeah, and he's like a detective.
I don't know the plot of this one. I'm going to have Paul look it up.
It was Lady Frankenstein, and one thing I will have to give them 71 points for.
Yep, I got
there was nudity.
In Lady Frankenstein?
Yes, there was nudity.
How about that? I hope it wasn't Joseph Cotten. Tell me the third actor listed, by the way, Paul, if you found it.
Yeah, I had it.
How do you pronounce his name? The third actor listed under Mickey Hargitay and Joseph Cotten is Herbert Fux. Herbert Fox. Or Herbert Fuchs. Or Herbert. But how would you pronounce F-U-X?
Fuchs.
Fuchs?
Fuchs.
But he's not, well, not a Jewish fella.
You like the guy. You like
not
him
a Jewish
Fuchs.
Fella. Gilbert has actually heard of Lady Frankenstein.
When I was working Vegas the last time, I went to the clothing place. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the costume girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing my laundry there in the room. And I was sitting in the chair, and Lady Frankenstein was on. I thought, this is such a treat.
Wow.
There was nudity.
You live an active life.
And Mickey Hargitay.
Yeah.
So I think I went through so many screens here. I think I have the right
71.
Movie.
And you know something? Okay. Mickey Hargitay, not a good actor.
No.
So Dr. Frankenstein is killed by a monster he created.
Yes.
His daughter and his lab assistant continue his experiments. The two fall in love.
Of course.
An attempt to transplant Marshall's brain into the muscular body of a retarded servant, Stephen. No wonder this was up your alley.
And I think...
this is like Gilbert directed this.
I think Mickey Hargitay is trying to be a cool detective.
I see.
Like carrying a cane polishing the handle.
Right, he's Mike Hammer.
Yes.
Okay, what else you got? Do you know this one, Gil? From 1957, and this stars somebody who was also featured in your act, Whit Bissell.
Teenage Frankenstein.
You got it.
Teenage Frankenstein.
I was a teenage Frankenstein.
And I mean, the makeup looked like silly putty.
Yeah, this was an AIP special.
Oh, yes.
This was an Arkoff beauty. I don't even know where to begin.
And
Phyllis Coates is in it, Lois Lane.
Oh, wow.
Who's still with us.
They have a, their one big line in the movie is Whit Bissell as Dr. Frankenstein says, "I know you have a civil tongue. I sewed it there myself."
I love it.
Yes.
What was the Whit Bissell? Was it Bessel?
Oh, Bessel is Jessel. Bissell.
Yeah.
Jacqueline Bissett.
Right.
Ted Bessel.
In the Jessel story?
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You did that the first night I ever saw you on stage at the comic show.
Yes. Oh,
which I'm guessing was 1980, 81? Yeah.
And back then they were all dead.
Except for Jacqueline Bissett.
Yes.
There was the Ted Bessel and the Georgie Jessel story.
Yes,
we like Bessel, but only a Bissell, says the Jewish press. Yeah, great stuff. Gary Conway from Land of the Giants played the monster.
That's right. He's the monster.
And at one point, he kills a teenage boy. I love this line. And obtains his face.
Obtains
I don't know what that means.
And he's wearing like a pretty boy muscle man t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
Even though he's got the Frankenstein makeup on.
So this was grade Z, Arkoff all the way.
Absolutely.
Nicholson and Arkoff.
Absolutely.
And Arkoff, yeah. Boy, there is no stumping you on this subject of
and
bad
I
Frankenstein
met Samuel
movies.
Samuel Arkoff.
Oh, that's
ago.
Right.
Yes.
Was it him that said the crap was my idea?
The shit
was my idea? What was
it? Because I think...
what was the story?
Roger Ebert,
right.
After seeing that Q,
the Larry Cohen thing.
Yes. He said of Michael Moriarty's performance, it's a great method acting in a piece of dreck. And now Arkoff Bradley says, the dreck was my idea.
I love that. That is just great. King of the Z's, Samuel Arkoff. Okay, before I go out on the big one that I know you'll know, a couple other mentions. A movie called Frankenstein General Hospital from 1988.
No.
Well, our friend Leonard Maltin called it the worst Frankenstein film ever made in English. And that's saying something.
Yes.
With the ones we just rattled off. A movie that got a big release.
But that looks like it was trying to be funny.
I guess.
Which makes it worse.
I guess. A movie that got a...
And I remember what happened was... I was filming either a part in a movie or TV show, and the producer said, we have to take a break for a while. So you want us to go out and get you a book? Mm-hmm. And I knew that Arkoff had a book out, and I said, can you get that one? And he said, not only can I get you the book, but our driver will take you to Samuel Arkoff's house, and he'll sign it.
You've told that story. That's a great story.
That was,
and he signed it.
Yes, he was amazing.
That's a great story.
And I think he wrote in the book something like, "I don't know who you are, but the guy said you're okay, so that's fine with me."
I love it. How perfect would he have been for this podcast?
Oh, my God.
Here's a major Hollywood release that was a terrible bomb. The Bride with Sting.
Oh, yes.
And Jennifer Beals. In 1985.
Oh, God.
I have not seen it. Is it an attempt to remake The Bride of Frankenstein?
Kind of. And there's a midget in it.
Of course. Is it Warwick Davis? Who was the midget?
Maybe.
The guy from Legend?
Because the Frankenstein monster...
Or Willow, I should say.
...becomes friends with a midget.
Okay. Paul, you're going to have to look that up. Yep. Find that midget.
They join the circus.
Right.
So it's the Frankenstein monster in the circus.
Yeah, Clancy Brown plays the Frankenstein monster.
Oh, wow. We got to get him on
the show. He's an interesting guy from Shawshank Redemption. What about these Hammer pictures? I know you're not a Hammer guy, but Curse of Frankenstein
with Christopher Lee.
And then there's two without Lee that Cushing was in called The Evil of Frankenstein and Frankenstein Must Be Destroyed.
Oh,
you know these?
I remember I saw those when I was a kid, on late night TV.
You're not
TV.
A fan of those.
Never was. I remember in one of the movies, but it may have had Alan Bates.
Okay.
Where they accidentally, it's such a groan ending, they accidentally kill a kid, accidentally kills the monster by pulling a lever that has acid in it. And it melts the monster.
It's like your old bit about the lever in the castle that blows the castle up.
Yeah, don't pull that lever.
I haven't seen the Bride, but for honorable mention as far as bad Frankenstein movies, I'd like to throw in Mary Shelley's Frankenstein with De Niro.
Oh my God.
As the monster.
Yeah.
Which temporarily ended Kenneth Branagh's movie career.
Yeah, that was like, he sounded like Jake LaMotta as Frankenstein.
Well, it's the peril of casting such a contemporary actor.
Yeah.
As the Frankenstein monster, you might as well make Pacino, you know, Igor. What do you got on, what was the last one I gave you, Paul?
What, the Bride?
We don't need to talk about the Bride. I'm going to close with this.
And they tried to make it a big women's lib parable.
Yeah.
Like she wouldn't be ordered around by Dr. Frankenstein.
The makeup was impressive. These are the ones I found. I'm sure there are many, many other terrible Frankenstein movies, but these are the ones that I found. And we'll wrap with one I know you know, directed by Al Adamson in 1971.
Frankenstein versus Dracula.
You got it. Wait, it's the other way around.
Oh, Dracula versus Frankenstein.
Right.
Lon Chaney Jr.
Very good.
And J. Carroll Nash.
Look at you.
And the monster was like Zygoff Zaka, something. It was something, a totally made-up name, like Zardo.
Really a guy named Jerry Levine.
Yeah.
He changed his name.
And, well, the Frankenstein monster in it, who's 7 feet tall, he was actually, talk about Jews, He was an accountant. He was like, I think he was the accountant.
Are you serious?
Al Adamson.
This is like Ed Wood's chiropractor.
Yes. Yeah. And he was getting a little annoyed doing the movie because it was tax season where he makes most of his money.
Good God. Did Chaney play a mute?
Yeah.
Groton, yeah, the mute?
He was, I mean, Chaney was like, he had been dead for 10 years while he was filming that.
1971.
And so, yeah, he played a mute called, like, yeah, Groton.
Groton.
Because when you're a midget or a monster, you have to have a name. You know, it can't be Henry the Monster. Or, of course,
or Phil the Midget.
Right. Could someone fill the midget? We're running behind schedule. Oh, we need the midget
filled. Here's where IMDb lets you down.
Yeah, what happened?
They're all headshots of the cast. You can't tell who's the little one.
The guy, he's got a beard, and they came up with this name like Zarkov Zarov.
Yeah, I saw it when I was looking at it today. I think it's on Wikipedia, Paul.
Well, there's an actor who's named Xander Vorkoff.
That's
the guy.
That's
Xander Vorkoff.
That's Dracula.
And I heard, like, you know, Chaney and J. Carol Nash shared a room together.
Oh, it's just sad.
And it had been years since they did House of Frankenstein.
Does Fari Ackerman show up in this one?
Yes!
Dr. Beaumont?
Yes!
Yes!
He shows up and he's killed by the monster.
That's great.
And this was a way to get it mentioned in famous monsters
of Filmland.
Russ Tamblyn was in
Russ Tamblyn.
Yes!
Yeah, that's right.
Yes!
We got to get Russ Tamblyn.
Because also...
Dara, book Russ Tamblyn.
Also, it was originally also going to be called, like, you know, Motorcycle Freaks. Like, because it was a motorcycle picture.
That turned into a Dracula.
And then they got Chaney and J. Carol Nash, and they combined the two.
I have not seen you this excited in a long time.
Xander Vorkoff.
And I heard that when Chaney and J. Carol Nash were sitting in the room together, Chaney said to J. Carol Nash, "Well, Jay, I guess we're going to be dead soon." and J. Carol Nash said, "Shut up, blonde."
That's a beautiful story. I saw that on Inside the Actor's Studio. Beautiful. How do you know all this?
Yes. If you could be anything, Mr. Nash.
Did he impress you? Dara's sitting in there eating a banana and shaking her head with a sense of wonder.
We've secretly replaced Gilbert's usual coffee with cocaine. Let's watch.
If God does exist, what would J. Carol Nash say to him?
What is Xander Zarkov's favorite curse word? Oh, this was a fun one. So thanks to Sean Liu, listener Sean Liu, Gilbert had a field day.
Lon Chaney Jr., what is your favorite word?
We'll be dead soon.
He actually proposed, I dare say this, I say this at great risk, his idea was Frankenstein and Dracula movies, the worst ever, but I knew you would get so excited and that you would have so much information that I'd have to table Dracula for another day. So the next time, we'll do worst Dracula movies. Thank you, Sean Liu.
What it shows how pathetic I am that most guys, they could give you all the facts on baseball and football games. And me, I'm this excited over Dracula versus Frank.
You knew which one had a midget in it and what Chaney said to J. Carol Nash on his deathbed.
I think I talked about it on the show. Al Adamson.
Yeah, now gone.
Okay. Al Adamson... The way he died, he was a, you know, shit producer.
Uh-huh.
And
he
wanted to have a swimming pool. So he hired, are we ready, a drifter to make the swimming pool for him.
Oh, and, I know this story.
You know, a drifter,
right.
When can that ever end badly? So he
wasn't a member of the Drifters.
No,
it was an actual drifter.
No, it was a member of what was that other team that said, "Good night, Irene." What was that group that sang
"Good Night,
Irene"?
The Weavers. Was it the Weavers?
The Weavers.
The Weavers.
Yes.
Wasn't that a time?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So he hires a drifter to make him a pool for cheap, and he makes the pool. And then people are saying, friends of Al Adamson say, "Where's that Al Adamson? We're calling him. We stopped by his house. He's not here." And so finally the police show up at Al Adamson's house, and the pool has been plastered over. And they found out that he did build the pool, killed Al Adamson, the drifter, and then closed up the pool. And he told the police, "Well, Al Adamson changed his mind about having a pool, and he wanted me to."
What a story.
This is like Edgar Allan Poe here.
It really is.
Almost as good a death as, what's his name, Dr. Cyclops?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Albert Decker.
Yes. Those they're good. They're right there neck and neck. Great, gruesome Hollywood
What was his in brief?
He was killed by some kind of hustler.
They found him hanging naked in the shower, bound and gagged, with obscene drawings and words written all over his body.
Yeah.
And the police ruled it a suicide.
A very talented
Name one other
suicide.
Podcast that offers Al Adamson being killed and buried alive in his own swimming
pool. That's right.
We got to sign off. That was fun.
So this has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions with Igorless Raybone.
Swimming pool-less Raybone. See you next time.